today he's put in my heart the word Maranatha, Maranatha, and the spirit of that word, which I'm not sure I know. I don't know anything as I ought, but just what that word has meant to me and maybe to many of you, things that the Lord has imparted to your heart in regards to that. And when he kind of just spoke the word Maranatha to my heart, I felt like he gave it in regards to a person going through kind of what Geraldine's heart in prayer was so beautifully kind of crying out. And Sharon, I just was so blessed by your prayer for Geraldine, and the Lord in your prayer reached my heart. I want to thank you for that, Sharon. But that when someone is going through that process of God dealing with them and a trial, maybe it's a trial in their life where it's very difficult and they're being pressed beyond measure and it's beyond their ability to overcome. In other words, it's a situation where they just cannot forgive in their own love, or they cannot bear with this frustrating person one more day. They don't have the long suffering to suffer anymore with that situation. Or they just continue to have anger and resentment and they just can't get over it. Or they're envious of someone and they want covetousness, what someone else has. They're not content and they can't stop envying or being jealous or reacting or holding in their heart these things that are beast. You know, we speak of, like Geraldine mentioned in Daniel, the beasts that were revealed and unveiled in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, which just speaks of that old nature of Adam, that old sin nature that we're all have the virus until Jesus takes the throne as our life and our government. And we're pressed beyond the measure of what we can endure. It's Adam can't do it. The flesh can't fake it. It's too much. And I think the Lord puts us and allows us to be in situations that are more than we can bear because it drives us to a certain place where we cry out for the Lord to save us, not from the situation, but to save us from ourselves, to deliver us, not from that evil doer or that frustrating individual or that horrible dilemma that we can't get out of. He doesn't want us to escape it or be delivered from it or saved out of it. He wants to deliver us from the corruption of our old man, from the disease of the nature of sin, from the beast that is our old nature, who we are when it's our flesh that's ruling and reigning within our members. He wants to save us from that, deliver us from that, by Jesus being our life, and even more specifically, the lamb that was slain, the slaughtered lamb, being our nature. Inside, in the very places that sin was ruling and reigning, that sin nature. Romans 6, 7, and 8 talk a lot about this, but so does most of the Bible. But more specifically for today, the impression that I kept feeling in my heart was that a person was in that place and their temptation and maybe the storm within them, in their soul, was to look at themselves, to trust in their own love, in their own patience, in their own righteousness, in their own goodness, in their own ability to overcome, and become depressed, become overwrought with sorrow, become disillusioned because the more they looked at themselves and their situations, the more they realized they would fail. There is no hope. There is no hope, and it gets more depressing and more exhausting and more overwhelming. And, you know, I think, like I said, I think the Lord may allow those impossible situations that corner us and press out of us that dross that is our old nature, that just can't do it, you know. And I think it's in that moment where the heart cries out, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And not in the clouds, not in the air per se, but come forth in my heart. Come forth in me. Come quickly, Lord. But the beautiful heart cry that describes is, I'm no longer looking to my own resources or at my own righteousness or my own ability to overcome in this situation. My heart is turning to the bridegroom. My heart is turning to the Lord. My hope is in God. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Even David cried that out in Psalm 27, when my enemies encamped me about, though 10,000 would encamp me about to devour my flesh, to eat me alive. And those enemies can be our own soul, our own tendencies that are those fleshly, bestial attributes that press against the Lord's nature in us. Though my enemies surround me, of this one thing will I, you know, be confident in. One thing have I desired, and it's that I'm going to seek after. I may be stuck in the muck and mire of these emotions, of the motions of sin in my flesh, of the reactions in my attitudes that are coming from the situation, but there's only one thing that I desire. And it's not that I look good. It's not that I fool everybody and get delivered from this situation. It's not that God changes the things around me to be more comfortable for me. The one thing that I desire is the bridegroom. It's you. It's you, Lamb of God. One thing will I seek after. And that is to be, you know, behold your beauty. Let's read that psalm. Psalm 27, if you have your Bible. Let's go ahead and open them up to the Psalms. And in Psalm 27, we can see David's heart here. Just starting with verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war should rise against me. And what if that war is the carnal mind inside of us? Though war should rise against me. Maybe he's identifying with Jesus, his life, when he says me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And so here he is being, you know what, just breathed down the neck. These enemies are trying to eat him up alive. And let's just pretend those enemies are our own own fears and our own reactions and our own pro-self souls trying to overtake Jesus in us from being our life. That there is war in our members. It speaks of that also in Romans, and that carnal mind is warring against the Spirit of Christ in us, trying to gain ascendancy. Saul is trying to take down the David heart. Our soul is wanting to live instead of be denied and crucified. And so there's this war going on inside of us, in our members. And it's trying to overtake that heart for Jesus and usurp the Spirit of Christ that is in us. But David said, you know what? Even if all that war is happening, even inside of me, this is the one thing that I'm going to be confident of. I'm going to seek the Lord right now. I'm not going to try to get myself right. I'm not going to try to change my emotions. I'm not going to try to think Jesus' thoughts or clean up my vessel. I'm not going to try to deceive myself like a Pharisee and pretend I'm okay. I'm not going to lie to myself and say, it doesn't matter, it'll be fine, just be passive, forget about it. I am going to look to Jesus, who is my life. He is my life. The Word of God declares Christ is my life, and that the cross happened, and I am in Christ. And He is my life. So I'm going to look to Him. I'm going to press in to Him. Now, for some people, they just love to say, I'm in Christ, so I don't have to let Jesus live in me. I can say I'm in Christ and be filled with jealousy and pride and arrogance, and that's all okay because I'm in Christ. To me, that's a very sad and sorry thing to do to Jesus. But that's just my opinion. I don't believe that spirit is what the scriptures are talking about that are at work in David. I believe he sees that war and he goes, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to press into you until you manifest in my members as the life that overcomes. The Lamb overcomes all the beasts. In his spirit of laying down his life, the Lamb overcame everything that happened in the book of Revelation in his saints who love not their own lives even unto the death. Well, here there's a love going on. I love you, Jesus. I don't love my righteousness or my passivity that wants to rest in an unholy, unsanctified rest. I love you, and I will be at rest, Jesus, when your spirit is ruling and reigning in my attitudes, and you have truly found habitation in how I act towards others. When you are at rest because you're really being my life, then I will claim rest for me. But I will not let my eyelids sleep, David said in Psalm 132, until you have a habitation in me. In Zion, in us, his people. I will not claim rest for myself when you have yet become the life that inhabits my attitudes and responses, till you truly are manifesting and living, inhabiting this vessel. So there's so much love going on, but it isn't David's desire to have victory over his enemies that saved the day time and again. It was that Maranatha. It was that I am a mess. I am defeated. I am unable. I am a failure. I cannot. But then that heart goes, but Jesus, 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 you're the love of my life. You are my life. You're not my get out of jail free card. You're my life, the one I love. You're my breath. You're my heart. You're my head, Jesus. You're my nature. You're everything, not in doctrine, not in an in-Christ reality that never touches your heart or mine. No, you are why I'm going through this. You're why this situation even happen to me so that you could be loved and experienced and I could just wait on you, you know? We might say, well, I can't make Jesus come out of me. I always fail. But we can wait on the Lord, not passively, not that passive thing that deceives us, but a waiting that's so active, a waiting that's cleaving with purpose of heart, that's abiding with love and purpose and faith, that's drawing the sap out of the vine, that's pressing in while it waits. But saying, you know, don't awake my beloved until he pleases, but when he's ready, he'll come. Like the does and the hinds of the field, when it's his time, he'll appear as our life. When the morning comes, so comes my salvation. When the sun rises in my heart, so comes my salvation. When Jesus manifests in a new spirit of forgiveness, a new heart, a new way, then Jesus saved me. He saved me when he came forth like the sun rising out of my heart. He saved me from me. My greatest enemy was me, and Jesus saved me. And I can't make the sun rise. I can't pretend to be Jesus, but I can seek the Lord. I can turn my heart and my face towards him. I can wait on him actively with love and not passively with deception. I can fill my eyes with his beauty. I can fill my heart with the hope of his appearing. I can set my gaze upon all that is in him and inquire in his temple of his beauty and how his beauty is going to fill the temple of my heart with all of the attributes of the slaughtered lamb that are going to come out of me, because I'm his temple. We're his temple. We're his body. And he's going to come forth. Oh, Maranatha! Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And instead of laying in our beds and crying, I can't do it, I hate myself, it doesn't work for me, I'm overcome with terror and fear and sorrow, we turn our heart towards the one we love, who is our life, even before it has appeared. We believe his word, and we cry out, come, Lord Jesus, save me from me. You are my answer, and I hope in you. And even before anything changes in us, our heart has changed from looking at self to loving him, believing in him, abiding in him, like the bridegroom, like the bride, the spirit and the bride at the end of the book of Revelation, just chapters at the very end of the whole Bible. You have the spirit and the bride coming out of the great tribulation, crying, come, Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly, come. Their whole focus isn't the horrible things happening in the great tribulation or their failures in the flesh, but the beauty of the Lord manifesting in mortal flesh. All creation groans for the sons of God to manifest. Come, Lord Jesus. This isn't about me. This isn't about me doing good or me looking blameless or me figuring everything out. This is about you appearing through me. You are the hope of glory. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Lord, when you come forth, you'll bring glory to the Father. You'll bring life to others. It'll be more than just me doing okay. It'll be the life of God's Son filling the earth with his beauty and his glory. Oh, hallelujah. You just start worshiping the Lord. You just start loving Jesus. You just start being swallowed up of him and seeking his face and desiring his beauty to fill the earth, to fill your heart, to rise up, to live through us. And it's just a beautiful thing. Doesn't mean that things have changed, or at that point it doesn't matter, because you're with the Lord. And in his good time, He will cause you to mount up with wings like an eagle. He will exchange that old, sickly, bestial nature for His eternal spirit of selfless giving, and He will bring you forth like a spring calf. We'll leap from the stall. He'll give us hinds feet where we'll walk upon our high places that used to cause us to stumble and fall. He'll make all things new. All things new. He says, come up here. Come up here. In chapter 4, verse 1 in the book of Revelation, to the seven churches who are in depression and terror because of their hard situations in the earth. He says, come up here and I will show you what is to come. I will show you my Lamb who will fill all things, who will be your deliverance. He will be your life. He will be the light of your city, the life of your temple, the glory of your heart. He will fill you with all His fullness. He's the head of the body. And it pleased the Father that He would be the fullness of the body. For in Him all fullness dwells, the firstborn among many brethren. It has pleased the Father that it would be such. It doesn't please the Father that we imitate Christ and take the glory unto ourselves. But it pleases the Father when Jesus fills us and comes forth and is truly manifested to be our life. So, Father, we thank You for tremendous hope, tremendous answers in times of distress, for the most amazing remedy to the darkest, deepest despair. Turn your heart towards Jesus. Set your gaze upon Him. Hope in the Lord. Cleave with purpose of heart. Be with Him above all other things. Oh Lord, love truly does overcome fear. It just kicks it right out the door. For something more wonderful has entered in, and that's being with the Lord we love, who loved us first. So Father, minister to the hearts of Your dear and precious ones who have come together to love You and to know You and to minister to You. And Father, may Your word speak to us. May it speak to us in the dark hours of the terror-filled nights and the days when we're depressed and can never seem to get the victory over those horrible things going on inside of us. Lord, let us turn it all back to You. Nothing will change except You be the change. Our hope is in You. We have no confidence in our flesh. We have no confidence in our flesh. So Lord, we thank You for creating us unto Your glory and unto this wonderful hope. Hallelujah. I just felt that as we just before maybe even we share, there was a song that I found on my Amazon playlist that just came up today, and I felt maybe we could just take a minute to listen to it and just let the Spirit of the Lord minister these things to our hearts and soak in His presence together. And if for some reason this audio is not clear, just go ahead and type into the SMS text and I'll try to make it a little more easier to listen to, but here we go.
Jesus, holy, silver.